Great to see what you're doing. You know, I like the building, but I like souls being saved. Amen. So it's good to hear that's going on around here in a great way. I want to jump right in tonight. I know I'm supposed to say a lot of nice things and all that, but I want to get to the scriptures. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. You know, as we study the Bible and think through the Bible, one of the major things that's going on in the book between Satan and God is that Satan wants the glory that's due our Savior. Amen. Satan's interested in getting God's glory. He lifted himself up in his own mind and said he would be like the Most High. And when you really study the Bible through, what the Lord is doing in this earth is getting glory. Every soul that gets saved, God gets glorified. Amen. What you're doing, what I'm doing, is to glorify God. Wouldn't you say that Satan would oppose us in any way, shape, and form he could through principalities and powers, that our lives are not hindered? I want to glorify God today. Amen. Not just tonight in preaching. Giving somebody the gospel today, praising him a little bit today, thinking on what he's done for us today, praying a little bit more, praising a little bit more, and then I get to finish the day tonight prophesying. You say prophesying? Yeah, preaching is prophesying. And we get to study the Word of God tonight. But wouldn't you know Satan would love to hinder us? Principalities and powers would love to get you discouraged about giving God glory in the work that he's given you to do. Amen? Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and follow along. Look at verse number 20. You know this, verse number 20. You are bought with a price. And that price is the blood of Jesus Christ and his suffering, his death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And let us remind ourselves of something tonight. Which are God. When he bought us, he paid for us, he owns us. It was mentioned tonight already that our time is really his time. And what we're doing is doing it for him and us unto him. And we're giving God glory. But I want to remind you that Satan tonight, through principalities and powers, would love to hinder us from giving God glory. He'd love to get you all discouraged about finishing. I'm glad you have a good spirit around here. I mean that. I'm glad you encourage one another. And it's not fake. It's not genuine. It's not disingenuous. It's not just slapping somebody on the back and say, come on, let's go. It's people with action really doing it. Did you ever run into people say, come on, let's do it, and then they do nothing? I like people say, come on, let's do it, and then they do it. And that's what you all been doing. I appreciate it. I want to show you something out of the Word of God tonight about glorifying God. And it's a little bit of a concept, a little bit of an attitude that I hope you'll pick up tonight. Look at Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. It's about glorifying God, but a little bit different attitude tonight, if you wouldn't mind, in looking at a concept that God has for us. Luke chapter number 12. In Luke chapter number 12, notice if you would verse 31. Verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good, say the word, say it, pleasure. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then he says, sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves a bag which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens. By the way, the treasure in the heavens is where thieves can't break through and steal. Would you agree? Where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupted. I want you to focus on verse 32. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good, say it, pleasure. Now, we're down here, and we're created to give God pleasure. Would you agree with that? In glorifying him, we give him pleasure. But it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I don't know how y'all do it in your families, and you don't have to agree with this, but I have 8 children, and we don't let them drive a car till they're 18. Now, I'm not opposed if you were 16 and your family lets you drive when you're 16, but we don't let them drive a car till they're 18 because I pay for their insurance the first couple of years. And there's a big difference between insurance at 16 and insurance at 18. There's also a big difference in maturity typically between a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old. Come on, would you say amen to that? So we make ours wait till they're 18 and have now. And so all of our eight children, my last one just turned 18, my youngest, in December. And so he got his license. And I've got this little thing I do once in a while. Every 18-year-old in my family needs gas money. I try to provide a car for them, a used car, an old beater that's safe, okay? And I give them a little insurance as long as they stay in college. You say, why are you doing that? I'm bribing them because if they stay in college, then they won't come back at 30-year-old and have to live at my house, amen? So I pay their insurance, and I help them out a little bit, you know, and they stay at my home, and some, you know, go to Bible college, some secular college, but I want them to go to college. And so at 18, my son, he got his license, and maybe a month later or so, I walked up to him, and I said, hey, you've been doing a good job recently, and I just want to say thank you. And, you know, I know that you're driving now and everything, so I reached in my pocket and pulled out some 20s, a couple 20s, and I said, here, this is for your gas tank. And he said, I'm good, Dad. I've been working. I don't need it. And my daughter, my 20-year-old, was across the room. And when he said, I don't need it, she said, you hear this gasp. And I said, okay. Put the money back in my pocket and walked away. And she said, I heard her say when I walked into the other room, you dummy. How dumb can you be? Don't you know by now how it works? And he said, what are you talking about? She said, when Dad offers you money for gas, receive it. You see, he was doing very well and still is doing very well, and I wanted to encourage him. And I wanted him to receive the money. But I want to tell you something. The money to him was just the money, but to me, it was the pleasure of giving it to him. And every parent wants to reward their children when they're doing right and reward them as they can to encourage them. Would you agree with that? She said, you're dumb. She said, Dad will put that in his pocket and you won't see that for 3 months. He came back into me and said, hey, Dad, could I talk to you for a moment? I said, what about? He said, that money. Oh, I said, you don't need that. And he said, I'd like to reconsider. I said, why? He said, well, I need gas money. I said, no, that won't work because you said you didn't need it. I said, why now do you want it? And he said, well, you wanted to give it to me, and I said no. I said, that's correct. He said, well, I need gas money, and I said, that's not the right answer. Look again at verse number 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good, what? to give you the what? And you know what he does? The Father wants to reward us for what we're doing down here. Now look up here. We're undeserving. Would you agree with that? We're unprofitable servants. We get to labor beside of him. Salvation is more than just being saved. Salvation, we're going to heaven, but there's something we're supposed to do while we're saved on the earth, and we're supposed to be careful to maintain good works. And then he wants to reward those good works. Look at what it says. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So when we do well, God wants to give us something for doing well. It's not salvation. Salvation is secured by the work of Jesus on the cross. But we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Is that right? And we're supposed to perform those good works. And the Father wants to give us the kingdom. There's a couple different kingdoms in the Bible. The kingdom of God is within us. Would you agree with that? And then there's a kingdom in heaven where Jesus is right now. It's called the kingdom. And then there's a kingdom coming. Thy kingdom come. There's going to be a kingdom on this earth. And he's talking about giving us the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Stay right with me if you would. Matthew chapter number 25. And notice what he says in Matthew chapter 25, and look at verse number 31. Verse number 31. When the Son of Man, chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 31, the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Behold, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Isn't it good to be a sheep tonight? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, sheep, save people, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the what? Come on, talk to me, inherit the what? Remember, it's God's good pleasure, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the what? The kingdom. And now he says, inherit the kingdom. Now, that gives him pleasure when he gives us that kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Look at, if you would, at Revelations chapter number 20. Stay right with me. Revelations chapter 20. You're doing well? No, you had a long day. Revelations 20. Remember, it's the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. Therefore, we ought to want to give him pleasure in every way possible. And may I say, then he wants to give us the kingdom. But notice specifically, Revelations 20. In Revelations 20, notice verse number 5. The rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I want to tell you tonight, it's good to be saved and good to be part of that sheep and good to be part of the first resurrection. Why? Because on such, the second death hath no power. If you're part of the first resurrection, you don't have to worry about the second death. The second death is to be cast away from God into the lake of fire, or into eternity away from God, where there's that darkness compared to heaven being light, where there's pain compared to heaven, no pain. The concept is, it's so good to be part of that first resurrection. But notice what it says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Thy kingdom come. There's going to be a millennial kingdom. And we get to be a part of that. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. We'll be priests and kings during that time where he sets up that 1,000-year reign. Remember, that's the time in verse number 2 that old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, is bound for 1,000 years. And we get to rule and reign with the King of Kings, the monarch, if you would. There's not going to be any Democratic Republican Party in those days, amen? Not going to be a vote every year for who's president. Monarch, perfect. And we get to rule and reign with him, and it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We want to give him pleasure. Look at Luke 19. Luke 19, watch how this ties together now. Luke chapter 19. What you're doing in your project here for the Lord is to work to give him pleasure. Luke chapter number 19, you know the story about the pounds. Stay with me. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. A certain nobleman, Jesus Christ, went into a far country, this world, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Notice what he does. He calls his 10 servants, gives to each of them a pound, and says, I want you to occupy it. I want you to trade with it. Notice his citizens, the Jewish people, they rejected him as a nation, if you would. You know, it's wonderful that they rejected him. I'll tell you why. Because he turned to the Gentiles. What do you mean? It's wonderful that Jews rejected him. God had a perfect plan. He knew the Jewish nation would say, crucify him, crucify him. Then he knew that he would still go after the Jews, but there would be a point in time that he would say, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. I don't know about you, but I'm glad, being born a Gentile, non-Jewish, that God turned to us and that we get to be a part of serving him. We're grafted in. I'm a spiritual Jew tonight. How about you? I'm of the seed of Abraham. It's nice to be Jewish tonight, amen? I am. I'm a spiritual Jewish person. In fact, I may know about the Old Testament, New Testament a lot more than the Jews do down on the earth today. But I still want them to be saved. We still pray for Israel. Is that right? Come on, talk to me. Oh, yeah, never turn against Israel. But we ought to take this time and redeem it. So he gave his servants. And notice what he said in verse number 15. Stay with me. Came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, We command those servants to be called to him. What you're looking at is verse number 15. You're looking at the judgment seat of Christ. He calls them to whom he had given the money that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. What are we supposed to gain with these pounds he's given us? Well, we're supposed to gain his glory. Don't think this is you gaining something. This is him gaining glory. But if we glorify him, he'll take care of everything down here for us. Would you agree? Those of you who've been giving and sacrificing and seeing that building go up, I know God has blessed you in many, many different ways. But you haven't seen the big blessings yet. The biggest blessings come after this world. After this thing is all over. Notice what he said, how many have gained? Well, the first one gained 10 pounds. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Please don't take this wrong, but what we're doing down here right now is very little. Ah, we're sacrificing. Please look up here. We are doing very little. But he rewards the very little. You know, he somewhat minimizes this life. He calls our life a moment. He calls our life a vapor. Paul said, I think the sufferings, the little sufferings of this present world are not to be compared with the world to come. You say, I'm in pain tonight. The Lord says it's sufferings for a little while. Won't last long. Compared to eternity, what we're doing down here, brethren, is very little. But we better be faithful in the very little. Because he watches the little things. And little gets to be much when God's in it, amen? Very little. So he said, now the next one, the next one comes along, and his pound had gained 5 pounds, and he has rule over 5 cities. You know the story. Then the one comes up, and he had laid it up in a napkin. And by the way, what you don't want to do, what I don't want to do, is let opportunity pass by. Verse number 20, he said, I took your pound, and I laid it up in a napkin. I let the opportunity to pass by to use it. He says, well, why did you do that? Or I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. May I say this to you tonight? Jesus, to us, is no more meek and lowly. I knew that'd get quiet. What do you mean, he was meek and lowly? He was meek and lowly. On this earth, he was meek and lowly. We're in our meek and lowly time right now. Come on, is that right? Right now, we're not kings yet. We're not priests yet. We're still in meek and lowly time right now. He was our example. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be meek and lowly. We're supposed to be in sorrows. He was a man of sorrows. But look up here. He's not meek and lowly tonight. Say, don't say that. Next time you see him, don't expect meek and lowly. Expect austere. Verse 21, austere. Austere. Verse 22, austere. Austere means strict, stern, firm, unwavering. Next time we see him, it will be a judgment seat of Christ. Would you agree with that? He won't be meek and lowly. Look, next time you see him, he's not going to be riding on a little donkey. You got to get it out of your brain that he's meek and lowly right now. He's our advocate. He can be touched with our infirmities. But he's Revelation chapter 1 right now. There's a flame of fire in his eyes. Are you still with me? Oh, no, he's meek and lowly. He's meek and lowly to the lost. He's that little lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world to the lost. But don't you view him as a Christian as meek and lowly. He's not meek and lowly right now. He's watching what we're doing. You say, is he full of grace? Yeah, he's full of grace. Is he interceding for us? Yeah, he and the Holy Ghost. But he's not meek and lowly. You say, why do you keep saying that? Because he's not a softy. He's not going to let us slip. He's austere. That one who had that opportunity to do something with that pound that didn't do anything, He said, thou wicked servant. And then look what he said. Give me the pound and give it to someone else. If you don't want to use it, I'll find someone else who will. Now, wait a minute. When that servant didn't use the pound, he took pleasure from God. I'll say it again. He took pleasure from God. It was God's good pleasure to give the kingdom. Is that right? And the one that gained 10, God said, great pleasure, good job. Here's 10 cities. Let me reward you. To the one who gained 5, good job. Here's 5 cities. To the one who didn't do anything, he said, you wicked servant. Why, that wicked servant took pleasure from him. You say, it's almost like you want the rewards. I want every reward that God wants me to have. And you should too. I don't want your reward, but I don't want to miss out on anything God wants to give me. You say, that's vain. No, it's not. Because wanting that reward means I want to give him pleasure. Are you still with me or not? When my son walked away from me and said, I don't need that money, okay. The money was for his gas tank, but the money was for me to get pleasure by giving it to him, to reward him, to encourage him. And if God's got rewards, I don't want to miss them. And I want to give him pleasure. I'm an unprofitable servant, and I don't deserve them, and neither do you. But given this opportunity, we ought to kind of make hay while the sun shines, amen? What do you mean? In this lifetime, we better take our little moment. We better take our little opportunity that we have. And I want to tell you, that building looks like a big thing, but in heaven, that won't be anything. But what you did as a part, what your opportunities were, what your giving was, what your time was, what you did to put that up, because the purpose of that building is to give God glory. What's going to go on in there is souls going to get saved. People are going to get married. Souls are going to get baptized. People are going to be taught to go to the mission field. All these things are going to give God glory. The building is just a place to hold them. But the building will attract more people. Come on, talk to me a little bit. More people will drive in. Isn't it nice to have a parking lot again? We didn't have a parking lot for a long time. What happened to your parking lot? We put trailers on it. We grew and we bought trailers, double wides and single wides, and filled the parking lot with trailers. We didn't have parking for 15 years, just street parking. No big deal. It's, Weight Watchers special. Come on, is that right? Park and walk, amen? We don't have to fight through the snow here. Drop the person off and park and walk and have fellowship. It's no big sacrifice. I hope you haven't complained about that. I'm serious. I hope you haven't complained about that. Well, we just have such a small parking lot. Wah, 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 wah. But you don't know what it's like. Well, drop the person off or leave the ones that can't walk very well. Give them the parking. And some of you young people, don't try to get over here at, half an hour before so you have a parking space so you show off your car out there. Park and walk, big boy. That's right. I never parked on the parking lot. Well, didn't they have a space reserved? Nah, I didn't believe in that junk. What makes me different from somebody else? I drop off my family and walk just like everybody else. No complaints. What a blessing that we didn't have a parking lot. It was filled with places to put people. Nurseries. Come on, I'm serious. We were creative. But I'm hearing you get a parking lot back. Y'all fighting over that thing yet? Some of y'all parked out there now? Talk to me, yes or no? Yeah, some of y'all? Yeah, so okay. Now, It ought to be those who can't quite, are a little bit more feeble, have something, infirmity, they ought to be parking out there. Some of y'all that are able to walk, you ought to not be parking out there. I'm going to say it again. Some of those that deserve to park out there, that are a little bit elderly or have an infirmity or have a little bit tougher, or maybe a mom with a new baby that's driving herself in or something like that, they should be parking out there. If you can walk, you ought to not be parking out there. Is that okay to say that? I said it now. Well, I don't like that. Come on, grow up a little bit. If you're 20 years old and able to walk, you ought to not be taking up a space that a 60-year-old ought to have. Well, I got here early. Well, grow up, park down the street, and walk a little bit. Well, that's such a sacrifice, really. Is it now? In fact, on Sunday morning, it ought to be reserved for those that are elderly and feeble or something like that, and visitors. I don't like that. Sacrifice a little. You're not walking through snow. It's not that bad of weather. What happens when it rains? Umbrella. Umbrella. Somebody in a wheelchair, they ought to be parking right out there. That park lot ought to be filled with people that need to be right up close to the building. And the rest of y'all ought to just sacrifice a little bit. Well, man, that's the way it's going to be even when we get into our bigger building. Oh, it's going to be worse then. But you got to realize that's a miracle for you even to get a parking lot. What do you mean? It's a miracle that you've got it worked out, that they let you build that building with the number of stalls that you're supposed to have and all that worked out. I remember when God worked that out, that was a miracle. You ought to not be complaining about that. They would have never let you build that building out there without a miracle, because it's all based on parking stalls. I ought to go down and just mark down and say, you parking there? You parking there? You parking there? How old are you? Can you walk? Can you run? Are you parking out there, brother? Are you parking out there, brother? You better not. You look like you're capable of running and walking. Is that right? You probably don't even have a car, do you? Amen. Okay. I don't have to worry about you. Amen. I like your spirit. That's why I'm picking on you. Don't complain about that stuff. This is what you're doing is much bigger than that. It's about being faithful in the very little. It's about cities. It's about God's pleasure. It's about God giving you the kingdom. Come on, is that right? Amen. Being careful to maintain good works. And the concept is this. We want to make sure that we give God pleasure. Look at 2 John. 2 John real quick. I'll come back to that parking lot thing in a minute, amen. I just feel led to talk about that tonight a little bit. 2 John, I thought you was talking about money. Yeah, I know money. 2 John, look what it says. Again, it's about giving God pleasure. 2 John, look at verse 8. Look to yourselves. We ought to look at ourselves a little bit, amen? That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full what? Reward. You believe in rewards, don't you? You should. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about rewards. And we don't want to miss out on the reward God has for us. I want to show you something tonight, and I don't normally do this, and I don't even know why I'm doing it tonight. I just broke something, amen? And again, this is not something I normally do, but I got a couple of little slides, and they're not professional or anything like that, and I want you to know that what you're doing in this journey will create a heritage and a legacy that some of you that are a little older, your children are watching, they'll remember and they'll see. I heard the brother was testifying. I started giving when I was a teenager here. How do you do this? You guys got the slides back there okay? Yeah, whatever you need to do, just do it. And turn off the lights or whatever you need. I just want to show you a couple little slides here tonight. And this is, we did a little heritage day. And I've been pastoring in our church now 30 years, and so we did a little heritage day, and what you're looking at is the different buildings we have been at our church, and the first one on the top is Amherst property, and I know it's like, what is this, home movies tonight? Stay with me. You guys have been to a few places.
The third one down on the bottom is the Seventh Day Adventist. So when we got too big there at that top one, when God grew us too much, and God does the growth, we don't, amen. When God grew us, we moved into this Seventh Day Adventist property down here on the bottom. And then when God saw fit, when God outgrew us on that one, we moved into the middle one, which is our current property. Next slide. So these are the old days, and this is just a little program we put together. You see up on the top, that's our old property, and I know where you guys came from. I've kind of been at every property I think you've had almost, maybe not the first one, but I remember the days of the tarps, the blue tarps, amen? Yeah, good remembrances. And I just want you to see that what we did was we had a Heritage Days, and so on a Saturday, we invited everybody into the church, and we had buses ready out there, and we took all the people on buses to all three properties, and then we had tour guides at each property to talk about what happened there, what took place there on that property, and at every one of the properties we went to on those buses, we had food at each one of the properties. It was kind of like a heritage, like a walk through memory lane, but at every one of those properties, we had people stand up and say, hey, I just want to testify, I got saved on this property, and I got saved down here on this property, and one of the guys said, yeah, I was teenager, and we had a property where we were upstairs on the first property. We had an upstairs there, and the bottom floor was all filled with people, and then we had to put people upstairs on a closed circuit, somewhat like you're doing out here and everything, but they were upstairs. So when the preaching was going on downstairs, and they were upstairs, if you would, when it started really getting fired up and people would say amen, they'd start stomping up there. What do you mean? Well, there'd be amen and going on down the service, and on top you'd hear this stomping start going on. It felt like an earthquake up there, amen? Exciting days. And then we opened up our balcony, and similar to yours, our balcony was outside the doors too. Wonderful days. And we'd ask the young men to sit out on the balcony, which is our patio, our porch outside, and on rainy days they had umbrellas out there. So they would be sitting out there on rain days with umbrellas. The guys on some of the men and women on top would be stomping. The guys outside were shouting, and we were having a good time on the inside. And the neighborhood wondered what we were doing. We were having a good time, amen? Next slide, if you would. And so you see up here, you can't see it real well, but we built like, it's just so similar. You remember your tarps? Well, we built awnings outside, and it's an awning outside for the buses, if you would. And then you see, this was our parking lot. The one just right in the middle, that's our parking lot right there. You say, that was it? I mean, you're looking at our parking lot. It was filled with trailers and buses and all kinds of things, and nobody could park in there. And then we had these old buses and everything. This middle is a single-wide trailer, but we had nurseries in the buses too. You say, well, what are you showing us for? You got to stay with it. You got to stay with it. You got to stay with it. You got to look at this thing like it gives God pleasure for us to stay with it and stick to it. You say we are, but I'm telling you, sin, principalities and powers would love to discourage you sometimes. We'd love to get a spirit and attitude in here like, what about that parking lot? You know, we had no control over our parking lot. You have no control here. You know, the city can come back and ask you to do this and ask you to do that, and now we want you to do this. And do you know personnel in the city change, and somebody else could come in and want something totally different? And you just got to go with it. Next slide. And so if you would, this is our first auditorium, and you can see we're kind of packed in there. And I want you to look down at this last picture. This is our first auditorium. This is the extent of our platform. Now, I got to tell you, this is very similar right now. The depth of our platform, this is about right. I'd stand right here, and that would be about the extent of it back there, just about like that, and we'd squeeze everybody in there. And your platform, our first platform, it was much smaller than this one. It would go about this far, about right here, and about the same over there. And you say, why are you saying about the platform? Well, I'll show you in a moment. The growth and everything is what you got to use what you got while you have it. Next slide. So this is when we moved to the Seventh Day Adventist building up there, and I know you can't see it real well. I wish I had bigger pictures, but the crowds were growing. We were running 800 or 900 at that time over in the Seventh-day Adventist building. And we got a little bit bigger platform, and we were renting over there. Now, one of the things about us moving to that next building, here's the way it worked for us. We had the Seventh-day Adventist property, and we went from 1,500 a month to 7,000 a month. That's a pretty big jump. And then not only did we have the Seventh-day Adventist building for the English, but then we had the we rented a school for our bus ministry, because our bus ministry was running, 500-700 or so. And so we rented a school for that. And then our Spanish ministry was growing. We left them back. So we were meeting in three different properties. And think about nurseries and logistics and how that all worked. And you know what we couldn't be? A complaining crowd. See, I believe a church ought to be military. What do you mean military? I think we ought to have a military mindset. I remember pulling into Korea up near the demilitarized zone in a place called Chiparu. And it was the middle of winter. And you know what you do in the military? You can't complain about where they put you. So we're in the middle of the winter, and we're out there in Tent City, and none of the stuff work or anything like that, but we had raised our right hand and sworn to do what we were supposed to be doing. And this was back in 1979, when there's a great uproar, and one of our helicopters got shot down, and the North Koreans chopped off two of our pilots' head, and so they sent us up there near the DMZ, and we're up there. And what I'm saying is this: you didn't go in and say, "I don't like the combinations. I don't like the weather." We just need to suck it up and see that we're soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there shouldn't be complaining about this concept of what we have to do next. Brethren, we were meeting in three different properties, and what great opportunities. Although we had to have shuttle buses going back and forth and dropping people off here and nursery workers there, and the Spanish ministry was growing, the bus ministry was growing, and the English congregation was growing. And it was tough sometimes, and we had to go out of our ways sometimes. But what we don't need to be is soft. I'm not talking about soft like humble. Stay humble, but what we don't need to be is soft, like pathetically complaining about everything. Our children don't need to hear that. They need to hear how wonderful it is that we're growing. Come on, say amen to that. I'm serious about that, and I apologize for the ones in the back because the pictures aren't very big, but we had to keep growing. And so, next slide. So now we moved into this, and we got an old buildings. $3 million, but you can see a little run down. But I got to tell you, this courtyard extends out, and it's four times bigger than our parking lot was. Just the courtyard. You say, what are you saying? God can bless over time. Next slide. Stay with me. So this is our auditorium now. And I'm not saying that like we've done anything. God gave us this, but we've been working on it. So we moved in 15 years ago, and, you know, we bought it for $3 million, but we put $2 million of renovation in there. And we're still renovating. And it's still not the way it needs to be yet. But I want you to see that platform up there is about the size of a skating rink. When we got in there, we rattled around. Now we need more room. You know what you can do with more room on a platform? We've had all kinds of, now we can have over here, we've got a 45-piece orchestra over there. We couldn't have that before. I mean, it's all wired for sound and everything. It's three stories high. You say it's a weird shape. I know they built it. We inherited it. It's built in the shape of a tabernacle, like a tent. Great acoustically. But I didn't build it. We just moved in. Old buildings have problems, and we've got problems with it and all that. But I want you to know that God can do a lot of different things. We put new pews in and new carpet and everything, and God worked that out. You see on the right hand over there, that side of the platform, we're not quite using that yet, but we've got plans. I've got plans to spread the whole orchestra across the platform with a big choir and everything, but you can't do it if you don't have the building to do it in. It's a little thing, but it's a big thing because music ought to be part of the church. I'll tell you even more, though. Go to the next slide. So this is what it looks like from a little bit higher up. This is from a little place that we have where the projectors are and some of the sound equipment. And you can see the orchestra set up over there. And over here we got another piano that we're getting ready to put into play. But I've got plans to put orchestra on both sides and singing in the middle and all kinds of stuff. So we're not even done yet. You say, why are you showing us that? You got to have vision. You say, what's the big deal about a platform? Next slide. This is an office we're working out, and I'll say this, that we've went in and renovated offices. This is a school we have, and our school's grown. I know you have a school here, but I want to tell you, more classrooms and more opportunities, if you would, to teach, and we went in and renovated. And may I say to you, it ought to look nice. Nothing wrong with that. You're not wasting your money to make it look nice. Next slide. So this is our school office, and our and I know how you feel about it. We just got licensed for daycare. I don't know how you guys feel about daycare, but I like to get them when they're young. We just got licensed, and we had to go through the child protective license and the fireman's license and the city license, and now we're licensed to have, I think it's 130. In our daycare. So we got our school, we got our daycare. Next. In order to do that, this is another slide of the office, but we wanted it to look nice. Next, we had to work on our classrooms. And, you know, I don't know why they painted them yellow, but it's bright and shiny. And this is just one of the new ones, and if you'll notice, it's all set up for daycare. The handles on the doors and where the fire extinguisher are and all the rest of them. Next slide. And my point is, we're expanding, and we could have never done that. You might not look at this as a big deal, but these are all the little restrooms. Do you know the little restrooms cost just as much as the big restrooms? The little fixtures cost just much. But if you don't have it just right, you can't have the children in there, and you can't. So we use this for church, and this is in the daycare, and we did a $200,000 renovation just to put this in here to get ready to go. But we're using it in our church. And may I say to you, it's like, why are you showing all this? We ought to be working. And this may be a little thing, but some kid is going to come to church and go into our daycare and be taught, and who knows if they're going to be missionaries or not. And we need to have these things for our property is used 7 days a week, almost 12 hours a day. Our property is used. The lights are on every night. Something's going on in our church every night. Monday night, Spanish Bible Institute, English Bible Institute. Tuesday night, Spanish Bible Institute, English Bible Institute. Wednesday night, Spanish church takes up the whole property. Thursday night, English church takes up the whole property. Filipino church takes up. And then we have Friday night, RU, Spanish RU, and English RU. Then Saturdays, who knows what's going on, but the property's used all day, and they got all kinds of things going on. We got all kinds of things going on. And then on Sunday, just like you, they come in, they go out, and they come in, and they go out, and they come in. What do you mean? We have this English come in, this English leave, and the Spanish all come in, and then the Spanish leave, and then the English come back for Sunday evening, and the Spanish come back. Last week, we had 400 visitors. Big day. It was wonderful. But we couldn't do it without the facility. So I'm telling you this, what you're doing here is important. Last week, we had a special push in a couple of our ministries. Last week, in Tecate, our Spanish ministry started a church 4 years ago in Tecate, Mexico, which is just an hour and 10 minutes away. They had a big day yesterday, this church that was started out of our Spanish ministry. They ran 24 buses. Yeah, last week. 1,500 people came to church last week in Tecate, Mexico. Yeah, yeah. And by the way, that church was started 4 years ago, and 85% of the people, almost 95% of the people that come to that church now used to be Roman Catholic. So they've been bringing friends. 1,500 people in church in Tecate, and 179 adults walked down the aisle. 179 adults, Spanish, probably most of them in Roman Catholics. You say, what happened? Well, you know, God knows who gets saved, don't they? But 179 walked down the aisle. We worked with every one of them individually. It's nice to be a part of the Lord's work. Why? He likes to reward us, and that gives him pleasure, and that glorifies him. Is that right? But you can't do it without finishing and getting the facility. Next slide. Stay with me. Remember we were talking about different things about that platform? Well, this is an event we had last Saturday night. And these are our teenagers, our young people. I was joking with them up on the stage, but they put on a concert last week. We call it Exalt. And we raised $4,500 for them to be able to go up to Brother Treber's youth conference. And it was a fundraiser. It lasted for an hour and 15 minutes, and people paid $10. And this is our youth and part of our youth orchestra. You know, you can't do that without a platform. Are you still with me or not? They're earning their way to camp, but they're glorifying God in the music and the singing. Next slide. So you can just see that that platform is well used. In fact, for this one, we had to move the piano off, and we had to move some stuff off because the platform wasn't big enough for what we were doing that particular night. Good to see the teenagers up there. You know, in that little platform we had when we first started, you couldn't do all that. You say, what are you saying? Come on, have vision. Finish this thing out and have vision. Because it's not about the platform, it's about the people on the platform. And I know you got great singing and great music going on here, but you know your orchestra can grow and your musicians can grow. And music ought to be something that we do in a way that glorifies God. Amen? Amen? Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Next slide. So this is, you can see. Yeah. You say, why do you have that one? Well, here's the 60-year-old up front. But I want you to know this. Me at 60, I wasn't involved in putting this all together, nor were our 55-year-old staff. It was this group in back here, the first group. He's 24, 22, 38, one of the older ones, 26, 29, 28, 27, about 32 and 31. And the idea was all those in that second row grew up in our church. And they're managing the teenagers behind them. All of those in the front row are the managers of this particular event that night. So it's perpetuating. Now, some of you young people go, I don't get that. Some of you older people know what I'm talking about. It's important that we perpetuate. And so you're seeing generations there. My age group, we kind of stayed out of the way. This next age group ran the whole thing. And a lot of those grew up in our church. The one here in the middle is the leader of the whole group. And that's my son-in-law. And he met my daughter. And they went to high school together at our church. And now he's 37. He's our youth leader. And this is he and this guy in the middle. It's their vision. Why are you saying that? Brethren, that's what's going on in your church. But you need more space. They require more space. Did you hear what I'm saying? They can be more innovative if we give them more space. More opportunity, more space, a bigger sound system. Come on, is that right? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, these geeks need that, amen? Sound geeks need bigger stuff. I'm serious, the musicians and all that. Next slide. So here's my crew. This is my family. And this was taken in November. And you say, why do you have that up there? Because to me, this is what it's all about. To me, this is what 30, 35, 40 years is about, giving them bigger opportunities and greater opportunities. Now, you can see in this slide, this gal here, who's married to our youth pastor, is my oldest daughter. She's with child and just had a child a month ago. This daughter over here is Heather. She's got another child coming. And this gal straight up right here, my Jonathan and Ruth, do you know Kevin Wynn? Yeah, that's his daughter Ruth Wynn, and so Ruth's with child. So we've got three babies being born this year, and my wife's having a good time. But you know, those babies are grandchildren that need a bigger place. They need nicer restrooms. Come on, because one of these days we want to turn it over to them. My wife and I, we're already turning it over to some of these that are in leadership, and if you would, and doing things different things in our church, just like you have here. You say, why are you showing all this? It ought to be inspiring because, keep going a little bit. Give me one more. So this is my youngest son, and he's 6'3". And this is a black tie event we have, and I think it's nice to dress up once in a while for the Lord. And I'm not saying we have to do it all the time, but this coming Saturday night, this was last year's spring concert, and this coming Saturday night we have another spring concert. It's all of our school children playing instruments and singing and everything like that. And but we got to do it for him. He's my youngest. That's the one that turned the money down. You say, you're just showing us home movies. I want you to go out here inspired. Next slide. Because this is what it's all about. Could have never done that in our first building. Could have never had that in our second building. Could have never had that when we had Seventh-day Adventists. And what you're seeing there is just a Sunday night. And Korean, Filipino, African-American, Anglo, who knows who else. Just everybody. Amen. And can you see that we want to use the whole platform?
Yes, sir.
Somehow, you've got to look at this vision and say, it's going to be worth it when it gets there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You're getting there. And I know you've been laboring and laboring and laboring. But to me, this isn't enough yet. We need to send some out. And from our church, just like you, from our church, we've started another church across town that's doing very well. They're doing very well. They're into double services now. Say how well they're doing. They're growing. They're in their fourth year, and their Easter offering, just a regular offering, was $30,000. So they can go on for the Lord, amen, and do something. Come on. See, that's to me exciting. You say it's just money. Oh, no, he's putting the money to use. And we like to perpetuate churches across town. Because you don't just donate money, you donate people. So one of my sons, Jonathan, who married Ruth, that he's over there at that other church, and he's an associate pastor over there. And I don't mind the Lord donating. Not just donating money and prayers, but people. You guys have all already donated to your missions quite a bit. Not just money, but families. And I appreciate that. And I was driving up today, I saw the sign, the School of Missions coming up. What was that? Who was that you named it after? Who? Come on, talk to me. It's not a trick question. Who? Do you know who he is? If you're going to put a name up there like that, it's got to do something. And I saw college, school, whatever you call it, institute, school of scriptures, training for. I remember when Pastor Joe and I was sitting over at Polly's. Is it Polly's?
Yeah,
he told me about this deal. What do you mean? Visualize concept. I'm glad Brother Myers is here. I mean that with all my heart. You ought to thank God that the Lord just has raised him up, and you ought to let God raise him up. I'm serious about that. I got raised up that way in a little bit different way. I wasn't planning on it. Our pastor, not like yours, I understand what happened with Brother Joe. But our pastor, unfortunately, had to go to jail. And I became interim pastor in one day, 24 hours. But God can still do it. And who knows his plan? You ought to get behind Brother Myers and his vision, because the vision is perpetuating. And by the way, there's going to be new innovations and new things that can be done as God unfolds this thing. We didn't have this as a vision when we started. I'm not a great builder, but God is. And I'm not a building guy. You guys have built something up out of the dirt. We've never built something like that at our church. You say, what do you mean? You guys have built something new. We're just good mover-inners. We move into something that somebody else has built. we're like squatters. Come on, you still with me or not? But then we try to fix what they built and make it even better. You say, no, I don't think that's biblical. You wouldn't have liked the promised land then. Because didn't he move them out of their cities and then they just move in and take over? They took over their vineyards and their grapes and all that stuff. Yeah, so we're good mover-inners. I'm good with that, build that building. We might build a gymnasium one of these days. But after $2 million worth of renovations, we still probably got $1 million to go in just renovations to make it, to bring it up, to make it functional, to make it nicer. Are you still with me? Yeah, to be able to use it better and more effectively. My goals for our church are my numbers in my mind right now for our church is to move towards 2,000 every Sunday. We're not there yet, but that's my vision. But you can't do that without a building. And then our building doesn't hold 2,000. But if you space it out enough and bring them in and send them out and bring them in and send them out and have different times when they're coming in, and on that, on one Sunday, we can run 2,000. Just keep bringing them in and moving them out. What do you mean? Bring up this group in with that and bring that bus out, and then the next ones go out, and then the next ones come in. And our auditorium gets used 6 times a Sunday. So you can be innovative to do more. You say, what's this all about? Why are we doing this? Look up here. It's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And he wants us to be rewarded. But all this is very little. But we better take our little moment and our little money and our little innovations. Look up here. And our little time that he gives us. And the body that we're stewarding over that he owns. Stay with me. In the spirit. And we better glorify God. And not let Satan rob and hinder us till we don't wait where we don't finish the job. We're not finished yet. Neither are you. You say, how long you been at this? I don't know how long you've been at this building thing. 2006. I got to tell you, you've been at this building thing more than that. You've been at this building thing as long as I can remember. I've been coming here 24 years or so. Huh? How long has the church been existing? 28. And you were here at that time, weren't you? Brother Myers has been here through the whole time. So to me, the building program just doesn't stop. You say, but we'll be done. What'd you say? Oh, we'll be done. We'll be finished. You don't want to be finished like finished like finished. You want to be finished with that phase. But you can't get to the next phase until you finish this phase. Say, no, I'm quitting after that. No, don't quit. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. You ought to stay here long enough. Brother, you ought to stay here long. How old are you? 20? You ought to stay here long enough that you're 65 or 70 and need to park right up here next to the building. Where you can just barely hobble in at 80 or 85 years old. But right now, do you own a car? You do? You better not be parking right up there, brother. You better be parking out and jogging in. You got good wheels, good legs. It can all work out, amen? No, I don't want to see you parking out there. Park up the street. Save it for somebody else. But we'll give your spot later. Just hang around, hang around, hang around, hang around. When you get gray hair and your wheels start getting wobbly and you can barely make it in, then we'll let you park there, all right? Are you getting the picture tonight? Amen. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen. And we ought to want it. And we ought to not be worried, if you would, to receive a reward, because he wants to reward us for what we're doing. And I want to tell you, y'all are doing a good job. I don't know why I want to show you the pictures tonight. It's not much. It should be, because this is where you're heading. You may already be there, but you just can't get everybody up on the platform. But you will one day. You got a balcony. You got to fill that balcony. You talk about a good service over there. Can't wait to get there. Amen. I'm excited for you. You're doing a great, great job. Keep going. Let's finish. Why? Let's be careful to maintain good works unto our Lord. Preacher, you come. Good job, preacher. Thanks for staying in there. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Let's all stand together tonight. Thank you. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Bow our head and close our eyes. Great message. I hope it helps you see the future. Good things are happening now, but better things are coming in the future. That's why we're building. The pianist is going to play. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come?